From KMUW Wichita.
From Toronto, Ontario.
And from Armenia, Spain.
This is You're Saying It Wrong. Let's talk words. Let's talk words. Let's talk A words. We're here to get you or your kids ready for the SATs, at least for the first part of the alphabet. I'm Fletcher Powell, host and producer at KMUW in Wichita, Kansas. And joining me, of course, as they do each week, two people who I assume aced the language section of their SATs, language experts and New York Times bestselling authors Kathy Petras and Ross Petras. Hello, Ross Petras. You are there at your home in Toronto. Is school back now? It's after Labor Day here in the U.S. I don't assume you guys have a similar holiday around the same time.
Labor Day? Sure they do.
Oh, yeah?
We have Labor Day here.
In Canada? Yeah. Is it on the same date?
Yeah.
Yeah. Is that when everyone goes back to school?
It depends, actually. It's funny because I have this, because mostly I'm with the University of Toronto, and they're getting ready to go back to school, like, almost a couple of days from now. But when you said that, I got like this chill, because when we were kids, I think we mentioned this before, we'd go to Savannah, and they'd always have the back to school, and it was like much earlier than we went back to school in New Jersey, where we were from. And I used to always get so angry at the ads, like, how dare you put these... I used to get like, this is ruining people's summers.
Ruining lives, Ross. Come on, let's be honest.
I used to be furious. So to be honest with you, I haven't really noticed if it's back to school or not, actually.
So, it has to be.
I think
God,
it's like,
are you kidding? They're back,
but I'm saying,
Fletcher,
it's a phobia. I don't like looking at back to school signs.
Well, I was going to say, realistically, there's no reason for you to know because you don't have any kids who are of school age anymore. But if it's a phobia, that's a whole different ball of wax.
Yeah, exactly.
Ross, how do you feel about the fact that like Starbucks and places are already doing their Halloween and pumpkin spice? Huh? How do you feel about that, Ross?
I'm cowering in the corner in my room, Kathy. No, actually, oddly enough, I like fall, though, because a lot of times we have all these book sales at University of Toronto, which I love going to. So I actually like fall. Once school gets going, I love it. But that's that previous time. Don't take my summer away. So anyway.
Kathy Petras, there at your home in Armia, are all the niños back in... What is it? Escuela or something like that?
Escuela.
Escuela.
Sí, sí. Colegio. Actually, it's colegio for not university and universidad. For,
okay.
University.
Very nice.
See, they're back. They're back.
Speaking of college, university, the time-honored tradition of the SAT. Today, we're going to go through a little bit of the ABCs of the SAT, or rather, I suppose, just the A's of the SAT.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll look at some of the vocabulary words that they throw at poor, unsuspecting students.
We're just trying to prepare you for the whole year, Fletcher.
Yeah, we have a whole year of preparation, Fletcher.
But before we get to that, punctuation controversies, who doesn't love those?
Yeah, we had to bring this up. I mean, because it's not dying still. It keeps coming around. We're talking about the pesky possessive punctuation problem, because I like alliteration, that has arisen with the Harris-Walls ticket. Mm-hmm. And how many people, I can't tell you how many, we got a ton of emails about this.
Mm-hmm.
They actually just wanted our opinion, not the right way or the wrong way. What is the proper way to make those two names into possessives?
Right.
Harris's campaign, is it like apostrophe S or is it just apostrophe?
Right.
And this is interesting because Kathy and I are both on different, we have a conflict on this one. And that's a big, major conflict. I like S apostrophe. So if we're saying Harris's ticket, I would say Harris apostrophe.
Oh.
And the possessive. Kathy?
I'm an apostrophe S. S apostrophe S.
Yes. I'm with you, Kathy.
Thank you, Fletcher. Yet again, you have become, you are my spiritual brother.
I want to throw out something as Catherine's biological brother here. My first name is R-O-S-S, two S's. And I think my prejudice against apostrophe S is, as a kid, I hated R-O-S-S apostrophe S, three S's in a row. It looks sort of, just like, write it down, it looks weird.
It does seem a little extreme.
You know? And I think that's what turned me off on it. Kathy's just ready to.
Oh, I think it looks just fine. I just typed it. Ross can see it. It looks fine.
I don't like it.
What's the matter with you? It's fine.
But the whole point, and we told everyone this, is it really, as Kath said, what's the matter with you? It actually doesn't matter. The Associated Press style book, gold standard and my go-to, basically says ending in an S, you only need an apostrophe.
I say they're wrong. No, the New York Times, the Washington Post, the Wall Street Journal, they all do S apostrophe S.
Yeah. I usually go by AP, not because I necessarily agree with them, but because I have to have some standard, I suppose, that isn't just my own whim. But on that, I disagree with them. I wonder how much AP makes decisions based on newspaper, like column width, you know? I mean, often you're trying
to... I see, that's what I think, because you're saving, that's a good point. You save character space.
A character, yeah. By not having apostrophe S.
And if you're talking about a headline, that's huge.
Oh, absolutely.
Actually.
Yeah, absolutely. We have another one, though. We have another candidate there, a vice presidential candidate, Tim Walz, W-A-L-Z. What are people doing with that?
I think most people are doing what I, even on that one, I'm gonna go apostrophe Z.
You mean apostrophe S?
Apostrophe S, Ross.
I mean S, I'm sorry.
Was.
Actually, that's a new way of doing it. I like that even better.
I'm into that one, yeah. I like the apostrophe Z.
Yeah, you do. No, I would do S there.
Merriam-Webster, I think, actually has it the best when they say if it ends in an S or Z, you can do either.
Yeah.
So his name, Walz,
really?
Ends in a Z sound. So you technically could get away with W-A-L-Z apostrophe.
No.
Yeah.
No.
I think
that's horrible.
No.
That one looks weird to me. I would do an S at the end of that one.
Yeah, not okay.
Fletcher, let's go back to school.
All right.
Let's start testing Fletcher.
I still have nightmares about this, you guys, okay?
You're trying to avoid this. You're trying to get us away from the topic. We're going to do it anyway.
But do you remember? Remember, that's like when you were a kid and you'd sit there going, like, maybe by some miracle the teacher will forget she said there's gonna be a pop quiz.
Uh-huh.
You know.
But Fletcher, you're not gonna get away with this. We're gonna start school for you right now.
We're starting more specifically with the A's of what have been called the most difficult SAT words. We're trying to prepare you,
and we're gonna basically give you the word, and then we're gonna ask you, what does it mean?
He needs to pronounce it too, Ross.
And then you're giving me multiple choice. I don't have to just come up with these off the top of my head.
No,
oh, thank
you
goodness.
Don't.
Okay.
So the first word, Fletcher?
The first word here, A-B-J-U-R-E, abjure, I think.
Okay, does this mean, one, to earnestly urge, two, to swear off, three, to judge someone?
I think it's to swear off. I wouldn't have said that straight away, but that's the one that feels the most like what this word makes me feel.
And Fletcher, you've got 1 point on your SATs. Whew, right,
thank
now.
Goodness. All right, tell me about this.
Okay, well, it's interesting because I'm going to go through a tiny two-second thing on Latin. Abjure comes from the Latin, as half of the words ever seem to do, and it comes from a... jure or jure is like an oath, or, you know, like jurist, you know, that sort of word.
Mm-hmm.
And then the ab in front is a Latin prefix meaning to move away. So now we can look at the word. You're basically moving away from a judgment, right?
Oh.
You're abbing from the jure.
It's so funny when you explain it like that, Ross. It's one of those words that I've never cared for. I don't know why. And I remember some short story I read years ago about some like weird thing about, like, I abjure you, ancient serpent. It was a very weird book.
That's a weird story.
But like, I read strange things as a kid. But it's one of those words that looks so complicated. When you hear the ab as the going away and the jure, then you go, oh, of course.
Yeah, no, that makes sense. Give me like a sentence that a person might use that in, though, besides the evil serpent or whatever you just said.
It was a very good short story.
He was forced to abjure his professorship after he was caught stealing rare books from the library.
Okay.
Is this the Ross Petra story? No, sorry.
I would never steal rare books from a library. Oh, but actually, Kathy, give him the next, the sub word that we have in parentheses here. I want to see if Fletcher can figure this one out.
Oh, adjure. A-D-J-U-R-E.
Adjure. Okay, so this is different from abjure. Yes. But the A-B, you said, was like to move away from. A-D is toward. Like,
yes, very good.
Perfect, perfect.
I know this not just because it was easy to look at both words and assume it was the opposite, but our state motto in Kansas is ad astra per aspera, which is to the stars through difficulty is how we usually translate it. But
right.
To the, right, going to.
Yeah, perfect. Because, yeah, adjure is to require, to earnestly urge. So it's yeah, you hit the nail on the head with that one.
Good show, Fletcher.
Thank you.
Okay, now the next word is in front of you.
The next word is abnegation.
Isn't that lovely to say?
It is. I know. I like it. Yeah.
Okay. Is that one, involuntary servility? Two, the act of renouncing or rejecting something? Or three, forcing others to submit?
Before you gave me any of those options, I thought it was B, the act of rejecting something. What's weird,
Fletcher, I'm going to interrupt right here for 1 second.
Uh-huh,
okay.
Uh-huh.
This was a really, when I said the ab and the ad, you should definitely use that in your head, but also remember to use another Latinate word. Language can be very capricious.
Yes. Okay.
Go
that's
on.
That's what I was going to get at, because ab, if it means to move away from, but you're moving away from the negation, then that's very confusing to me.
Mm-hmm.
It is rejecting something.
Correct.
Yes.
It is, because when you think about it, it's self-denial or self-sacrifice. So the ab part, well, that, wait a minute now.
Kathy, I want, because you just sounded confident. I want you to explain this to me, because I've been staring at the etymology of this. I can't get it. They're saying here it's from the past participle stem of abnegare, to refuse to deny, from ab, which we said away from, and then negare, to deny.
Okay, to me, this is a case, though, where the negative is an emphasizer, is an intensifier, to me. When you think about it, so, okay, I'm denying it, and I'm denying
yeah,
it.
To move away from, to really move away from.
Yeah, that's how I feel.
I feel much happier about abnegation right now. Thank you. Okay, Fletcher, the next word.
Next word is abrogate, A-B-R-O-G-A-T-E.
Right. Does this mean to abolish or avoid, to claim something, usually without justification, or three, to ask a question of someone?
Oh, wow. I'm kind of tying myself in a few knots trying to break this down, so I'm just going to go, I think, with the one that's a little closest to sort of what I felt, which is to abolish something, the first one.
Very good.
Yeah.
You got it. And this is a little bit of a trickier ab one. Rogare in Latin can mean to ask, but can also mean to propose a law.
There we go. See, I was trying to get there, but I'm not that good.
Yeah.
That good with Latin, and so I was trying to break that down. It just wasn't happening for me.
But you got it there then.
Okay.
You got it right.
Okay. Now, while we're on the ad, how's about
abstruse? A-B-S-T-R-U-S-E.
That's another one I like saying, actually.
I do, too. I love abstruse. I've used that. I like it.
Yeah, abstruse. I don't use it often, but I like it, and I should try to use it. Anyway, number one, difficult to penetrate, esoteric. Two, weak, not strong. That's a terrible definition. It's like, oh, never mind. Sorry.
Well, that three. You just lost one for Fletcher there.
Yeah, I was like, but no, yeah. I should never do this, but I just thought weak, not strong. But this is what they have. Never mind. Three, vague, abstract.
Oh, boy. The first one feels like you're, no, that's not right. That's difficult to penetrate. I guess I'll go with that one, difficult to penetrate.
You're right. You should have pecked weak, not strong, but I laughed.
I was tired when I did those, calves.
I didn't mean to be rude, Ross, but I was
like, I looked weak. At it, too. I thought, why would I write that? I don't
know. Yes, it means difficult to penetrate.
So is this like when you, I don't know, open a book of philosophy and you're having trouble really getting what the argument is supposed to be?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I prefer irritating, but yes, abstruse. Yeah, it comes from the French. Again, we go back to the Latin. But what I'm fascinated by, we go back to the Latin, we have the ab again, you know, moving away from. But the other part, the truce part was from chudere, to thrust or push. So you're pushing, so you're pushing away from, right? Which does not, to me, really mean tough to understand.
No, I had a problem with that. It's third declension, it's a deadly Kathy, it's true to Ray, but...
Well, I'm sorry, I don't know Latin pronunciation.
Well, what about, like, if you have two magnets, right, that have the same poles or whatever, and you try to you try to put them together and they kind of push away from each other?
I love that, yeah.
Doesn't that feels like what you're doing there? You're trying to push into it, but you keep getting pushed away.
I like that. That's a very nice analogy.
Thanks.
That is good. I still can't. I think that to me, this shows more of the problems with the ab paradigm. It doesn't work a lot of times. Like, this one really wouldn't work for me.
Yeah, but I like the ab paradigm now that I know it so well. I really do. I really
well, I'm glad
love
you
it.
You show great acumen.
Oh, acumen.
Oh, Ross, he's...
Oh, you weren't supposed to say it. That's okay. I know this word. Acumen is the next word. A-C-U-M-E-N.
Okay, I think, Fletcher, you probably will know this one. Correctness, one. Number two, shrewdness. Number three, spiciness, zest.
No, that's nice because they're all kind of in the same area. Sharpness, shrewdness.
Perfect. You got it. Acumen in Latin, or acumen in Latin, means a point or sting. It's sharp. You have a sharp intellect, etc. You got it perfectly correct.
The next one I tell Fletcher is one that I don't really think I've really run across often. Fletcher?
Yeah, I'm not sure if I'm going to be able to get this one, but I have at least seen the word before. This isn't a new combination of letters to me, even if I don't really know what it means. Adumbrate, is that how it's pronounced? Mm-hmm. A-D-U-M-B-R-A-T-E, a dumb rate. Mm-hmm. Yeah, adumbrate.
Okay, does it mean one, to make simpler, dumb down, two, to outline, or three, to initiate?
The first one, I think you're just playing with me there. To outline, sort of to delineate what's going on.
Wow, you're doing, Ross, this is unfair. He's going to like ace the SATs. Yep, it's to outline. I know the dumb down, I couldn't resist. Right. I had to put it in. It was stupid. And I love, this is one where I love the etymology because it comes from the Latin root umbra, as in shade. Remember we're talking about sombrero versus sombra?
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
Isn't that cool? So it's like, it's supposed to mean like there's a shadow cast around something and you have the outline.
Wow. That's,
isn't that neat?
That's
it's just
cool.
It's so visual. Yeah. That one I really like.
And this works with the add because you're going to the shadow.
Add
to the shadow.
That's neat. I like that.
Okay, this is an interesting word, Fletcher, and there's an interesting dilemma about it, actually.
Yeah, I'm curious to see where this goes. Anathema is the word, A-N-A-T-H-E-M-A.
Does it mean antidote, cure for a malaise?
Malaise.
Malaise, sorry. Two, a thesis that is unprovable or unsupportable. Three, something or someone who is detestable.
Oh, wow. See, none of those are quite the way I thought it was supposed to be used. I guess I'll go with the person who's detestable, but it doesn't feel right.
It is right, though.
Okay.
Garlic is anathema to vampires.
Right.
Detestable. Maybe we should say, maybe detestable isn't quite, that's one of the classic definitions of detested person or thing. But could also be something that is completely, yeah, it is, like something
horrible that inspires
that you want to move
horror
away from.
In you.
Yeah. And it comes from the Latin anathema, which is technically an excommunicated person. In other words, you've suffered the curse of excommunication. What interested me about it are two things. Number one, it comes from the ancient Greek, and it originally meant something, a thing devoted, literally something you would set up in a temple. It wasn't bad.
Oh.
But then the idea of setting this apart, setting it aside on the temple, made it seem separate or different. And then from there, it came into the late Latin idea of a thing devoted to evil, a thing accursed or damned. And then from there into modern English, where it's just something that you don't want with, you know, in
something
your,
really
in your
awful
life.
To you. This is, I love that whole thing. I think that's so fascinating because you see... I mean, we've talked so many times about pejoration and blah-de-blah, but you see how something that's like pretty benign can, because of the act of it, can be made into something horrible.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, the word literally in Greek, if you break it down, it means ana means up, and tithane means to put. So you're putting something up. That's all it means.
You're separating it.
You're putting it up. You're just placing it on something. And then we got the idea of separation later. Mm-hmm. But here's my question to both of you. I've heard this word used, and I've seen it a fair amount recently, actually, in papers, etc. Do you say kryptonite is anathema to Superman, or kryptonite is an anathema to Superman?
No, not is an. No, it'd just be is anathema.
Oh, I say an.
I say
have
an
it as
too.
A noun. That's interesting.
Both are seen as correct.
Okay.
Both are seen as correct, but it's interesting because, like, you know, you say tomato, I say tomato. Kathy and I say an anathema, and Fletcher says anathema.
Uh-huh.
Doesn't work the same way for a song, but...
Okay, next.
Yeah, next up, approbation, approbation. I'm not sure I know what this one means.
Okay, is it one, approval, praise, two, disapproval, censure. Clever there, huh? Three, a test period.
Disapproval. B.
No.
We
finally got him, Ross.
You finally got
good.
Me.
It is the formal word for approval or praise. Exactly the opposite.
Okay.
May I throw in an ad here? And you're not going to be able to see it. It actually comes from ad probare.
Oh.
You're moving to, and probare in Latin means to try or to test something out.
Uh-huh.
So you're moving to. And probus means honest. So you're moving to honesty and genuine.
Okay. I would have, if you would have made me guess, I would have thought it would have been the other way. Ab probation. And it just turned into approbation.
Yeah, I would have too. You would think.
Okay. The next one, arrogate, arrogate.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you said earlier that rogare is something about making laws.
It could be.
Okay. Oh, yeah, but you said it was something else, too. Okay, give me the options here.
Okay. Arrogate, okay, means to act arrogantly, two, to criticize, three, to take over.
Ew. I guess to take over. I definitely don't like either of the first two.
Well done. Although, Kathy, did you put arrogantly in? I like that.
Yeah, the last few were mine.
That's really, I like that.
I thought it was pretty damn good, too.
Okay, arrogate means, you're right, Fletcher, and there's something called, you know, we talked about elision. Arrogate originally had the ad to it. So you're correct. It's moving to rogare, which means to ask, or, as you correctly said, to propose a law, or to ask a favor, to entreat, to request. So you're correct with your ideas. You're taking over. You're moving into that sort of thing.
Right. So what is something that you might arrogate? Like, when would you say that?
Okay.
Okay. I remember this all the time in New York. There'd be a blackout, and there'd be like the annoying jerk in your neighborhood who would get in the middle of the street and start directing traffic. He's arrogating. He's arrogating where the cops should be doing something.
I see.
Or the student is taking over the class. The student is trying to arrogate the teacher's authority.
All right. So I probably wouldn't really use it very much.
I've never used it. This is one of those words I don't think I really have ever run across other than, you know, in a crossword puzzle or something.
Yeah.
Okay, let's move on, shall we?
Archetypal, archetypal.
Right.
I say archetypal. You don't have to do
archetypal.
But you can. They're both correct.
Yeah, I think I would.
Okay, we're going to mix it up here.
Come on now. Okay.
What's the difference between... archetypal, stereotypical, and prototypical?
Okay, stereotypical is something...
This is really rotten of us. We had to do something.
It is. It's really nasty.
Stereotypical is something that falls within the pattern or falls within the mold.
Fletcher, just stop for 1 second. Let's simplify, because those are the adjectives. Let's take archetype and prototype.
Right. Archetype is like the Platonic ideal, I guess.
Ooh, brilliant.
Very nicely
Perfect.
Put.
Very nicely put.
And what's a prototype?
The prototype is the mold, like the thing that's been made.
Right, you did very well.
Fletcher.
You're going to college, baby.
Yeah, I was actually a little bit disappointed, Fletcher. I'm going to take 5 points off of your stereotypical.
Okay.
I think you should have made a slight thing. It's like you use it basically shallow thinking, bad writing. I think you were correct.
Well, yeah.
Although, see, now I have to interject because this is the one I had put in, and I kind of disagreed when I typed it in because the stereotype they usually say is a negative. It's usually a generalization, and it tends to be. But I think that a stereotype can be legitimate because it just is the generalization.
Yeah, I was trying to take like the connotation out of it.
You become my spiritual brother again, Fletcher, because I feel the same way. I don't think a stereotype is necessarily negative. I think we say it is, but I don't think it has to be.
Well, it doesn't have to be, but using Merriam-Webster, it is most frequently now employed to refer to an often unfair and untrue belief.
I know that.
Another definition, Britannica
way,
definition, often unfair, untrue belief that many people have.
La 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 la. No, I disagree. I think that it's become a negative, but I don't think it has.
Oh, it has. Oh, it doesn't have to be. I agree with you.
That's all.
But if you're going to use it now, you better be pretty sure that that people are aware that you're not using it negatively. That's what I'm saying.
Well, that's what I do, and I tell them.
So we'll close out on this one. Ascetic, A-S-C-E-T-I-C, ascetic.
Right.
Okay.
Yes. Okay, it means someone who practices self-denial or self-mortification as a spiritual discipline. Someone with extreme ambition who wants to ascend at all costs. Someone who is brilliant but unlikable, too sharp.
I always thought it was the first one, self-denial, like to the
you're
extreme.
You're completely correct. And you're also correct in your pronunciation. For years, Kathy and I have said ascetic.
Oh.
And we've had this word because when we were kids, we lived in Egypt for a while, and all these monks were running around. And it comes from, actually, ascetic comes from a Greek word, ascetikos. And I think we've heard the word, and for some reason, we both said ascetic for years. But mm-hmm. You're completely correct.
I almost said ascetic, but I was almost positive it was ascetic.
No, it is, and I still can't say it. I still say ascetic, and I mean, I'm sorry, and everybody, if you ever hear me talking about it, I'm just like, bear with me, buy me a glass of wine, I'll be just fine. I can't say ascetic. I can't.
I know what you mean, because I hear it, and I say ascetic deliberately, but in my head, I'm going ascetic.
It's ascetic, as opposed to acidic, which is like vinegar. I mean,
you
say acidic?
But also, there is an acetic acid, I think, right?
A-C-E-T-I-C?
Yeah. Yes, you're right.
Yeah.
You're See, right. That's my Maybe problem. That's I'm always thinking about chemistry, you know?
Yes, of course. Yes. You're Saying It Wrong is part of the NPR network and is produced in the studios of KMUW in Wichita, Kansas by me, Fletcher Powell. Kathy Petras records from her home in Armilla, Spain. Ross Petras from his home in Toronto, Ontario in Canada. Torrin Anderson composed our theme music, and our digital team is Beth Golay, Kate Hutchins, and Carly Cooper. You can find all of our past episodes by subscribing to the You're Saying It Wrong podcast wherever you get your podcasts, or by visiting us at kmuw.org. If you have a question for Kathy and Ross, if you'd like to suggest a topic, or you just want to reach out, you can email me at powell@kmuw.org or email them at kandrpetras@gmail.com. You can also email us a voice memo of you asking it your question. You might get your voice heard on air. If you'd like to do the same thing by downloading the KMUW app, you can do that and just click the Talk to Us button. You can find all of Kathy and Ross's books pretty much anywhere you get books, and a handful of them are also available on audiobook, read by the authors themselves. Thanks for joining us. We'll be back next week.
The candidates for November are set.
I know Donald Trump's tight.
Between now and Election Day.
We are not going back.
A campaign season unfolding faster.
Kamala Harris is not getting a promotion.
Than any in recent history.
Make America great again.
Follow it all with new episodes every weekday on the NPR Politics Podcast.